In this episode, we are talking to Suze Chadwick from the Connection Exchange, and we talk about how to use a podcast to amplify your brand. So we go back to the basics of talking about what is a brand and why it's so important. We cover some topics on how to create a brand strategy. Suze gives us her top five tips around using a podcast to amplify your brand. We talk a little bit on podcast branding, and we also answer some listener questions. Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey. Welcome back to another episode, and thank you so much for listening. Today's guest is the amazing Suze Chadwick from the Connection Exchange. Now, Suze is a fluff-free business branding and speaker coach who works with large and small businesses, and more specifically, she helps savvy businesswomen to build confidently bold brands. Now, I've actually been a personal fan of Suze since we met, I think it was back in 2014 at a conference, and her energy is just so infectious, and she's just a fantastic person to be around. So I'm super excited to have her on the show today. She has a podcast called Brand Builders Lab, and it features the latest in business branding and marketing trends. So welcome to the show, Suze.
Hello, it is so good to be here. I'm excited. First of all, congrats on the launch of your podcast, which is very exciting. But yeah, excited to talk all things podcasting and branding.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And did you know something I wanted to sort of frame this episode with is one of the reasons I asked you on the show too is because we've had conversations that you quite openly tell people that podcasting was one of the best things you did in your business and added to your branding, and it's made a big difference. So it'd be great if you can start by telling us a little bit about your podcasting journey and how you introduced it into your brand and how it's worked for you.
Yeah, so as you know, because Lyndall did set me up when I did start my podcast, it was totally by accident, if I'm honest, that it's kind of worked out as well as it did. So it was November 2017, and I was about to go into a massive renovation at home, and I've always been a bit of a video girl. And I thought, well, I still want to create content on a regular basis for my audience, but I'm not going to be able to do that on a building site. So I just sort of thought, well, what's going to be the easiest way for me to create content that where people can't see where I am? And I just thought, well, you know, I am a speaker as well. And I thought, I don't mind speaking. I can, you know, talk underwater. So podcasting seemed like a pretty good option. And so I thought, well, I'll record a few episodes. And I think we were talking a little while ago when you were on my podcast, and I did say I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even know if I was going to really do it. I thought, listen, I'll record a couple of episodes. I'll see if I like it and if it works. And then we'll kind of go from there. So I recorded three episodes. And then you set me up. And then I was really wishy-washy about it. I'm like, well, maybe I'll do fortnightly. We'll just see. Totally non-committal. And so we started off with fortnightly. And then I'm a massive Amy Porterfield fan. And I was listening to a podcast of hers, and she just said, when I went from like fortnightly or just ad hoc to weekly, she saw a massive spike in her listeners and in just the traction of the podcast. And I'm always like, if it's good enough for Amy, it's good enough for me. So I was like, right, I'm going to start doing weekly. So, you know, it definitely took a bit of organizing on my part to shift into that mode. But I kind of feel like once I got my head in the game and I was like, okay, this is how I'm going to do it, and I set up some processes with my VA on how we were going to deliver it, it actually kind of flowed really easy. Like I said, I am a talker. So, and I have a really amazing network of women in business who are normally who I interview, although not only. Mm-hmm. And so I just hit up all my contacts. I was like, want to be on the podcast? And they were like, yeah, sure. So, I mean, it was really just an excuse for us to natter for an hour together, if I'm honest, and share some of our wisdom with my listeners. And for me, it's just helped me to position myself as an expert in my field. And it's allowed me to share a lot of knowledge that you don't always get to share generally. And the feedback and the sharing, like people sharing the podcast, has been off the charts. And so I'm just like, wow, I had no idea. So that's what I mean when I sort of say I didn't come into this going, oh, this is going to be like the best thing I ever did and it's going to be a massive brand builder and a massive revenue generator. I was just like, I just need to create content.
Yeah, I think that is such an interesting way to look at it because obviously I say to people, make sure you know your strategy and make sure you're really clear on your purpose. And obviously you were clear on that from a video point of view and you and so it was about doing your content in a different way or providing it in a different way. And yeah, I love podcasting because unless you're recording the videos, which we do obviously, you know, you don't need to get on video to do podcasts. So you don't need to, you know, it's not quite as the same setup as recording videos, but you can change the way that things work with your podcast. So you can start fortnightly, see if you like it, change it up to weekly. I agree with you. I would say, you know, sometimes I do get clients ask me about recording a monthly podcast and I don't think that's enough traction. So if you're going to start, at least start weekly at least start fortnightly. And then yeah. if you're loving it and it's working for you, move up to that weekly episodes. And then, well, obviously we know that there are some podcasters who do more than one a week too. So
I was just about to say, obviously, Linda and I were just at a retreat recently and Steph from Socialette was there and she does like, I think, 3 a week, but they're like 5-minute episodes. So I think it's also just looking at how do you perform best? Like, what is it that you want to do? What kind of content do you want to deliver? Maybe she's somebody that enjoys that micro content consumption. And so she's putting that out there. So I think also, you know, just do what works for you. Like it doesn't, you don't always have to be doing, you know, half an hour, 1 hour, however long episodes. I think you just, yeah, figure it out for yourself. But there's lots of different formats.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just important just to note that it's about getting the content spoken about in whatever time frame it takes, because you often do get the question, what's the perfect length of a podcast? And I think it is a question of how long is a piece of string. It's just don't fluff it out to try and make them all the same length. Just make it the length of the message that you need to share. So that's really important. So stepping back a little bit, let's go back to I want to ask you, because you are a branding specialist, like what is branding and why is it important? And I think I've said in other shows, and I'll say it again, most of the people listening to this podcast use podcasting as an extension to their business. There are also passion projects or podcasters out there as well. But I guess taking it from a business perspective, what is branding and why is it important?
Yeah, and I mean, majority of people, when they think of branding, they normally think of logos and colours and visual branding. So I do brand strategy, which is really everything that sits behind a business. And I always say that a brand is the invitation to an emotional connection with your audience. So it's all the feelings you get when you come in contact with somebody, when you listen to them, when you engage with them, when you buy from them. It's the feels, yeah? And it's the strength of the feels. So for me, that's what brand is. Business is the nuts and bolts of how you deliver a product or service. So pricing, system, structure, purchase, etc. Mm-hmm. And marketing is you sharing what you have so that people who follow you know what you have to offer. So for me, when it comes to brand and why I think it's important, it's because unless you have a really strong brand, then people aren't going to care about the marketing message and then they're not going to buy. So everything starts with brand for me, because unless you're a product-based business where people don't really feel the need to connect, like they're just like, I see that and I want it, then that's a different way of purchasing. But even saying that, higher priced products do need to build brands, because we buy what we want to be, do and have. And so they need to sell the dream. And if you're not watching the video, I'm doing jazz hands because I'm always like, sell the dream. Because it's, you know, people buy either how they see themselves now or how they see themselves in the future. So it's like, what is that message and what is that dream and what is that brand that you're selling? So everybody that knows me knows that I love Gorman, which is a product. Mm-hmm. It's a fashion label, but I have a very strong brand connection with them because I love what they do. I love their clothes. I love how it makes me feel. And that is the difference between just buying a product and having a brand that people really love and that makes them feel something. So when it comes to my podcast, I get so many messages pretty much on a daily basis from listeners letting me know what they've done. So the action that they've taken, the things that, you know, I've talked about in the podcast that's really helped them and how they feel about me or the content. And, you know, for me, building your brand is really about building that know, love and trust factor to keep people coming back. Like, I think if you want a business that's just a business, you can build the know, like and trust factor. If you want a brand that people can't get enough of and have a real commitment to, you have to build the know, love and trust factor.
The no love and trust factor. I love it.
It's the next level. It's the next level, Lindell.
And I've heard you talk about Gorman on numerous occasions. And they and not only that is it how they make you feel in their branding and your but the experience that you get when you shop there is something else as well. So yeah, I think that's a really great message, actually. Okay, so when you're talking about doing a brand strategy, what are the key areas that you look at?
So when you're looking at a brand strategy, you're really looking at the positioning of the brand. So are you a Kmart or Chanel is what the sort of example I normally use. Like, where do you want to actually position yourself in the market? Because when I come to your website, when I come to your socials, when I engage with you, when I read your copy, I will have an immediate perception of where I think you're positioning yourself. And based on where you are positioning yourself, I will also then have a perception of what I'm willing to pay for what you do. So brand positioning is kind of one of the first things you need to make a decision on. Who do we want to be in the world? Where do we want to position ourselves? Who is our target audience? Like, am I targeting like high-end mums who have got massive disposable income, or am I, you know, attracting tradies who just want a functional shoe that's really comfortable all day? Like, who am I speaking to and where am I positioning myself so that they know that I'm for them? And I think that's the other thing around your brand is a lot of people kind of assume that people will understand whether you're for me or not. Whereas I say to people, if you're looking for, say, a business or branding coach and you're an action taker and you're somebody who wants to stand out in the market and be unique, then I'm for you. If you're passive and you want to coast and you're not really, you're like, no, I kind of want to stay behind the scenes. I don't want to have my face or my name or my brand out there. I'm definitely not for you. So I think that really knowing who your brand is for and not just knowing it, but articulating it and telling people just makes it a lot easier for people to opt in or opt out. And we say all the time, you're not for everybody. You just need to be for the people who are going to know, love and trust you. So that's sort of the first thing. The next thing around brand is just really nailing your message. And for me, because I do work with business brands and personal brands, I always just say, what do you want to be known for? So if nothing else, like if I get up on a stage and I'm about to introduce you, what's that first line? Like, what is it that you want me to tell people that you are awesome at, or that your product is great at, or how you want to position yourself, whatever it is. And so I think really knowing what you want to be known for can really help you as well. And then we kind of cascade down into, you know, your content pillars. It does go into your visual look and feel and all the rest of it. But then there's also things like, you know, your brand promise. Like, if somebody comes and works with you, what is the promise that you're making to them that they will experience, walk away with, have, be, do, whatever that is? You've got brand loyalty, so building loyalty with your customers. Once again, we're talking about the emotional stuff. And then brand awareness is getting your name out there so more people can find out and be attracted to you. So there's a lot of different elements to a brand strategy, but I honestly believe that the majority of brand strategy is really connected to how we emotionally engage with a business and a brand.
Wow, I love that. And it's so, I mean, we all know that podcasting and audio really gives you a really good connection with your audience. And so podcasting really can make a big difference in the emotional and the feels and the no love and trust factor. So that is, I love that. Do you have any, I guess, tips about using a podcast to amplify your brand and really use that brand awareness objective? Because obviously a lot of people do a podcast or launch a podcast with brand awareness in mind. So I'd love to hear, because I know that you've actually done it really, really well, and I'd love to hear what some of your tips are about using your podcast as part of your branding.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple that I have thought of, which, you know, there's a lot, but there's a few that I probably think is worth chatting about. So the first one is a little bit of what I was just saying then. So make a decision. One, make a decision to become an authority in your field. I think that if you make a decision to start a podcast, you are recognizing that you have certain expertise or knowledge and you want to share that with your audience in order to support and help them to do whatever it is that you want them to do. And so really owning that authority and ensuring that, you know, once again, your message is really clear about what this podcast is about, who it's for, and what it will help them do. And I think the other thing around that is not only to be seen as an authority, but to ensure that you're really relevant and responding to your audience. And so when I say relevant, it's an interesting one, because I would love to do more batching, but I'm also really conscious I don't want to batch too far ahead, because the market changes, the conversations with my audience change, the sort of interaction I have changes. And so I want to make sure that I'm relevant. So I normally would batch maybe a month, possibly 2 months or 6 weeks in advance. But then I always am saying, what do you guys want to hear? Like, what do you want to know more about? So that I can be really like responding to that. And also by me doing that, I can also respond to my audience as they are sending me messages. So I can do shout outs for them on the podcast, which is kind of my second point. So the first one is making a decision to be an authority and being really clear on what that is. The second one is acknowledging your audience and giving them shout outs. So I shout out to people who have left reviews, but I also do shout outs to people who have taken action, because that's my big thing. So I say on the podcast all the time, if you've taken action from this podcast, I want you to send me a DM and I want you to let me know. And so I'll do like two or three shout outs sometimes on the podcast saying, you know, I just want to do a shout out to Lyndall. She was listening to this episode, that episode, and this other episode. And from those episodes, she has taken this action. So make sure you go check her out. So I do. So it's like a real, I want to reward them and acknowledge them for the action that they take. And I think that if you can do that in real time to a point, like within a couple of weeks of that happening, yeah, I think that that just builds the strength of your audience and the fact that, you know, they know that you're listening and you see them and you hear them. And I think that's been a big one for me, because some people have been like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you talked about me on the podcast. I said to you, if you take action, I will give you a shout out. So that's what I've done. Yeah. So I think that that's a really big one as well.
I love that. That is so, that's so engaging with your audience, isn't it? Asking the questions, giving them shout outs, just making it relevant to them and wanting them to come back and listen for more, because they might get a shout out and they want to know if they get a shout out so they can, you know, share the episode or come back to you and engage with you. So I love that tip, definitely.
Yeah. And I think that with that as well, so if I know that I've like say mentioned two or three people, when I say there's a new podcast episode out, I'll tag them and I'll say, and I mentioned you in this episode, and then they go nuts and then, yeah, they share it. So I think that that's also important to do, is ensure that your audience feel like you are there with them.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if you don't have a big audience that necessarily are engaging at the beginning of your journey, then the things like reading out reviews, you know, I know I've listened to a few podcasts where people do start reading out reviews, which is something that I'm going to start implementing into this podcast. But, you know, if you are talking about people leaving reviews, don't forget that their iTunes name can be different, you know, might not be obvious who it is. And so if you're going to do that, then you can say, if you don't know who it is, then you can always engage them to connect with you. So if I read out your review and it's and I don't know your name, please send me a DM or an email and I can let you. Yeah, so that piece of engagement is becoming a lot more popular now too. So don't feel if you don't have an audience who are engaging with the action and everything that Suze's talking about, reading out your reviews can be a really good place to start with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day, if you've got people who are fans and you talk about them, they're just going to love you even more. Like, who doesn't love to be shouted out by somebody that they admire or listen to or follow? Like, you know,
that's right. Your little and like buzz you say, for the day. You tell people if you don't want to be in the spotlight or if you don't want to be a spider, then you're not for me. So they're not going to engage with you that way. So I love that. Very clear messaging there, Suze.
Exactly.
Do you have any other tips on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing I would say is to obviously share it everywhere. And I think that this is something that I have experience with a couple of people I know who have got a podcast where they're like, oh, I did the podcast episode and I put it out there. And I'm like, oh, and did the fairies deliver it everywhere? Or like what? So I didn't see you post about it. I didn't know you had a new episode. And yeah, I might subscribe. But, you know, if I'm busy and other things are happening, like if I saw it in stories, I'd be like, oh, I need to go listen to that today when I'm going for my walk or having lunch or whatever. So I think that for some people, they've got the strategy, they've got the plan, they've got it all sorted where they're going to post it. But I think that just really thinking about that. And if I'm honest, whilst I've been posting it in different places and Insta stories is where I like to live a lot. And so I put it out there and we post it on Facebook and things. But I think that, you know, I'm trying to take my audiograms to the next level. I've just created an Instagram handle for the podcast. And so now putting a lot of audiograms and IGTVs just on that page so that if people just want to listen to snippets from the podcast, they can do that. But the other thing is as well is like we create the images and then we obviously send that to when my website is working, we send that to our guests. And so they can then share it with their audiences. And it's been really interesting when a guest has shared the podcast, like if they've been on my podcast with their audience, I see a big spike in listens because their audience is interested in them and their audience wants to support them. And so there were a couple of episodes I've had which the sharing was off the, like I was like, I can't actually reshare anymore because otherwise I would have posted like 150 times today about the same episode. So I always want to reshare when people tag me about the podcast because, you know, I want to acknowledge that they've done that. But when somebody who's got a big audience or an engaged audience shares, I see that massively. So I think just really thinking about, you know, yes, your socials, you know, you don't need to have a separate handle, but you can if you want. Are you sharing it? And not just sharing the latest episode, but sharing your back catalog, like getting snippets from that as well. Because, I mean, I've got episodes that are still ranking like my top one and two that were maybe 6, 7, 8 months ago. And so they're still great episodes. And I mean, all the episodes, you know, you want to be looking at how you're sharing that so that people can go back and listen to them. Because the other thing is that I get a lot of people that are like, oh my gosh, I've just been in the car for 3 hours today and I've been listening to you the whole time, which obviously my response is turn it off immediately because you'll get so sick of my voice. But you know, people do go back and listen to. So I think just thinking about it's not just the latest episode you want to be promoting, it's all of the other ones too. Yeah. And just talk about it whenever you can. So, you know, whenever I talk about, like, because I'm a speaker, whenever they do my bio, it's like, you know, so Suze is a business brand and speaker coach. She's the host of the podcast Brand Builders Lab. She's this, she's that. So it's absolutely part of my bio. So I think if you want your podcast to really help you to raise your brand, you have to make it part of your bio and part of what you talk about on a regular basis. It's just part of your identity. It's one of the things, you're the founder of this business. You do that and you host this. Yes. So I think that that's another thing to really take a look at.
It's amazing how many people do miss that promotion piece, as you say. I work with a lot of people and I obviously network with a lot of podcasters and I do see that over and over again. And you've spent so much time and energy and there's amazing information that you've got in every episode. And unless it's not evergreen, which, you know, some of them aren't. But, you know, you need to be posting it more than once. I mean, you go back to that whole thing of if you're putting it on your Facebook page and 1% to 2% of people are seeing your posts, that's hardly anyone. So make sure you repost it and have a strategy around your marketing piece. So I would always say whether you use a project management tool or even if it's just a piece of paper and a checklist that you photocopy every time and cross it off, do the same task. Be really consistent in the marketing of each of your episodes. So do you send it out to your email list every time you've, you know, released an episode, or do you send it out once a month with the four episodes that you've covered in that month? Do you do five Facebook posts about it, two audiograms, two quote images, you know, all those different things, but have a system set up. And then obviously you'll find it less overwhelming if you're doing it yourself. And if you're outsourcing it to a VA or someone in your team, then they know exactly which steps to take as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, like I said, so I record my episodes and I edit them because I don't find that a difficult thing to do, especially coming from a video background where there's, I feel like there's a lot more going on there. So audio, yeah. I'm like, this is a breeze. and then my VA does all of the images and uploads it and all that sort of stuff, which is obviously what you do for all your clients. So I do think that it's worth outsourcing that. It just becomes something that's becomes a non-issue, because I think if you feel like something's hard, you may not be consistent or continue to do it. So if you can figure out what works and what's easy for you, then hopefully it'll be something that's not even something you think about, you know. So that's definitely, promoting is a big one. The fourth thing is creating message repetition when it comes to building your brand. And I got this from Story Brand podcast, which I really like. So when I first started my podcast, I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing? Like chat. And like, you know, oh, so today I'm going to be talking about X, Y, and Z. And whenever I listen to the Story Brand podcast, which I love, by the way, so if you haven't checked that out, check it out. But they had the exact same intro and outro every single time. And so every time I listen to it, and it's not like the jingle, it's not like, you know, the music and stuff at the beginning, it's actually what they say every time. And so I literally went, and their whole thing is if you confuse, you'll lose. And they do marketing messages. So they're like, if you confuse, you'll lose. And so I went, and in my Google Note, I've got my intro and my outro written out, and I say exactly the same thing every single episode, which positions me. So, you know, it says, I can't even remember it now, but I've got it written down. I know I'm like, it's long, but basically it's, you know, what I do and, you know, having a clear message. And if you want to stand out, then, you know, you're in the right place sort of thing. But I've got that written. And so even though I will wing it and I'll be like, oh, welcome to this episode. Today I'm speaking to whoever. And then you go into the jingle music and then I'll chat, but then I'll always read that out. And then I'll always read the outro out as well, so that there's real consistency. Because I found that when I listened to that on StoryBrand, it was embedded in my mind. And I thought, why am I not doing that? Like, if you can really start to position yourself through repetition, I think that then, once again, it's about clarity of message to your audience about who you are and what you do. You can give them the words. You know, yes. So if somebody says, oh, well, what does Suze do, or what's her podcast about? A lot of people will be like, that repetitious message is what they will talk about.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting one, because quite often now with intros and more intros than outros, we sort of talk about the fact that people will fast forward through some of that info if it's the same and if it's too long. So I really love that you've given it a different spin, because that's something for me to go away and sort of ponder over and have a think about. Because I guess for me, I sort of would be thinking like, do I want to repeat the message? Not because of the reasons you've said, but because are people going to flip through it? So I'm definitely going to go and have a little bit more and check out the Story Brand podcast and really sort of think about that a little bit more, because it's not something that I have in the past. So thank you for sharing that one.
But I think the difference between, because I do understand what you mean, and I do fast forward through a lot of jingles, what I'd call jingles, which is the music and the intro. But this is like you chatting. It's like you're weaving it into the conversation that you're having. So it's not robotic. So every time, so I'll be like chat, and they'll be like, oh, hey, if this is your first time, then I'm your host, Suze Chadwick, and welcome to the podcast. Like, and this is who I am and this is what I do. But let's dive into this week's episode. So it's very fluid.
Yeah. It's not pre-recorded.
No. It's me. Yeah. And it's natural, and it's kind of, yeah, like it's not robotic. I think that's the main thing. I think that if it's exactly the same and you say it in a very controlled or robotic way, then it would not work. Yep. But I think if you put your personality into it and you play with it, I think that it's fine. And they do it all the time and I love it. So yeah, I'm great. Like, well, if I'm responding to that like that, then
yeah, you know, perfect.
I think that I can do it as well. And my fifth tip around amplifying your brand with a podcast, and something that I am planning to do next year, and something that I was thinking about for my brand strategy, because I'll give you a little bit of background. So I launched my online course, Brand Builders Academy, which went really, really well. And I sent a survey to all of the people that joined, and I said, what made you join? And the top two answers were my podcast and Insta stories. And yeah, so I was like, right. So every year I do a review on my business, what's working, what's not, what do I need to focus on? And then once I've done that review, I go into planning and my strategy for the following year. And so I was like, right, I need to. My Insta stories, I love, like, I don't really need to do anything else with those. I could maybe do some ads with those, but the podcast, I need to like level up. And so I've got a good international audience. The majority of my listeners are in Australia, but what I've made a decision to do is that I'm going to run engagement ads for the podcast in America, Europe, and Asia when I'm not in a launch or anything. It's actually just maybe my top two or three podcast episodes to start to get, and I might do it with audiogram. Like I'm playing, I'm seeing, I don't know what's going to work. Like, will an image work or should I do an audiogram? How would that work in an ad for Facebook or Instagram? Because I want to build my brand awareness, and the podcast is the right gateway to me because I'm a speaker, because people enjoy the content that I share. I'm like, if I can get more people listening to the podcast, there will be an automatic transfer. If they love what I talk about and they like me, then there'll be a good transfer that they'll end up in my Insta stories, which means that we're building more rapport. So when I launch BBA next time, I've got like a whole new audience. So for me, that brand awareness and those engagement ads is what I'm going to be focusing on and allocating quite a bit of my marketing budget to, and just testing and seeing how that works.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The testing piece will be interesting there then, to see if it's audiograms or if a video would be better for you, or your cover art, which is a great conversation, because I'm about to run some Facebook ads just for awareness for my new podcast. And so I'm just talking to my Facebook ads person about whether we do the audiograms and, you know, the podcast cover art. If I do that, I've got to take some of the wording off it and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be interesting to see how it goes, and take the ones that have been amazingly successful.
Yeah.
And amplifying them, for want of a better word, but and putting them in front of a new audience. So that'll be interesting to watch your journey on that one.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I want to do with that is that I also want to amplify and promote the ones that position me and yes, what I want to be known for. So there were a couple of episodes like hiring yourself as the CEO, and then there was like an Instagram and then a time management one, and the feedback on those were great. So I'm like, well, I'm going to put those ones out there because the feedback on those are really good. So yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see.
Oh, I love it. I love it that you're really clear about how you're going to be really strategic with it next year.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to watch the journey.
Thanks.
Do you have any more tips on that note? I think what was that, five?
No, so those were my five. So the first one was make a decision to be an authority in your space and be really clear on what you want to be known for. Acknowledge your audience and engage them and give them shout outs. The number three was to share it everywhere and have a great marketing strategy. Number four was create message repetition so that people know what you want to be known for and they can kind of repeat that as well. And then the fifth one is what I'm going to do is run engagement ads, but really looking at how am I growing the brand awareness of the podcast, because I already know that it's converting really well for me. So how do I get more earbuds on it?
Yep. Absolutely. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so let's pivot the conversation slightly now and talk about podcast branding, because I think if you're at the beginning of your podcast journey, or even if you've launched your podcast journey, you might feel like you need to come back around to this, because podcast branding as an extension of your business branding is really important. We touched on the fact that audio is a great way for you to connect with your audience. And I think it's really important that people take into consideration podcast branding. So do you have any pointers for people on this topic?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think some of the key things is just obviously ensuring that you have consistency of look and feel and message and everything. Like, in order for it to be an extension, it has to be the same. Mm. So you can't kind of have a business that's doing one thing and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, and now let's talk about sewing. But in fact, I'm a brand strategist. So I think you just have to decide if that's a hobby, then that's fine. But you just need to make the decision and think about how do I want to use the podcast to position myself? And what is it going to look like? So making sure that that's consistent. And so whether people find you on the podcast or your website or your socials, they're like, ah, yes, it all looks the same. It all feels the same. And people can move fluidly through your platforms, which I think gives a really great brand experience. The next thing I'd say is just ensuring you're covering your content pillars and that you're not talking about random things. So I'm very responsive to my audience, but I'm really clear on my content pillars. I talk a lot, obviously, about business and brand strategy, marketing, but also around the systems and structures and strategies of building a successful business. So all of my topics really focus on that. And I just make sure that I'm staying in my lane is probably what I would say, because then people always come back and they know what content they're going to get from me. And it's kind of not all over the place. So I think that making sure that you are really using your content pillars, what you want to be known for, and that consistency to build your brand. And also just bring good quality content. Like, don't, like you were saying earlier, don't like if you have got something to say, but it takes you 10 minutes to say it, then say it in 10 minutes. You know, and but really also think about, are you just putting content out there for content's sake, or is there something that somebody can take away from this? And is it really clear in the way that you're structuring it? Because you've got to remember as well that obviously this is not a visual medium majority of the time, unless you're watching the video, but most of us are listening to it. So ensuring that you've got really clear structure to how you are delivering your content as well, I think also builds your brand authority and just the fact that people will enjoy what you've got more. But I think that those are some of the main things that I would sort of say if you're looking at your podcast becoming an extension of what you do, is just to really make sure that you are utilizing your podcast and making sure that the quality is as good as everything else that you're doing.
Mm, that's right. And when you talk about podcast branding, we're looking at things like your cover art and the music that you choose. And I have on numerous occasions listened to a podcast, and the music might be something that really appeals to the host, but it kind of is really not in alignment with the brand and the actual podcast. And for me, it's really obvious when there's a
jarring
disconnect. Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, that's really odd. For me, it feels odd. Obviously, you know your target audience, and you know, but I guess just be mindful of the fact that the music might not be what your particular taste is, but what do your audience expect to hear as part of that extension of your branding?
Also with that, when it comes to your branding, I think the other thing I'd say is that you should know your brand personality, and it should be clear across your platforms. So I think things like your art and your music and all the rest of it should be in line with that. So like I said, like whether they come to your website, the music that you have should probably feel fairly appropriate for how everything looks and feels generally. So I think if you're, you know, I've got bright pastel colors in my brand, so heavy metal music may not be in line with that. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just thinking along those lines too.
Yeah. And just the brand colors, what brand colors do you use? Can you bring that into the cover art and things like that? But yes, it does, there is a real disconnect sometimes when you look at the branding. So for an example as well, is there is another, although there's probably a couple of podcast VAs out there in the world, but there is another one that I know on Facebook that I see. But if somebody is looking at that brand and or goes to that Facebook page, they would potentially know it's not me, because all of my, and look, my brand could definitely use some work. I'd love to revamp my brand. I'm not suggesting that it's perfect by any stretch, but if they go to my Instagram, they go to my Facebook, my website and everything, they can see that there's that continual thread through it all. So I think that's really important when it comes to your podcast as well. So that has really covered it well, because we're not only talking about the cover art and the music and some of those obvious things, but as Sue says, the messaging and the way that you're making people feel, it's all part of your branding. So when you're looking at your podcast branding, really be sort of mindful of that. Well, we're coming to the end of the questions. We do have a couple of questions in the Facebook group. So I have the Australian Podcasters Collaborative Facebook group, and I always put my questions or let people know who I'm interviewing in there. And we have got a question around, I'll read it out to you, from Jai Kinkoi, and it is, can you ask how someone who is a music producer slash artist can use their podcast to amplify their brand and drive people towards listening to their music? My podcast is interviews with artists and industry people. I produce electronic dance music, so the podcast is related, but not sure how I can turn podcast listeners into fans of my music.
Sure. That's an interesting question. So I guess a couple of things that I would potentially do, and I haven't listened to your podcast, I'm not sure if you do this already or not, but I would be introducing that music. So if you've got snippets of any new music, you might have a section in your podcast where you've kind of got an introduction, maybe you do a bit of an interview, but then you have like, you know, we're going to just do 10 seconds, 20 seconds of listening time of a new piece of music that I've just created. And then what I'd also do is I would take a look at where you're sending them to find out about that music. So if you've got a new piece of music, where can they go to listen to it? Where can they be subscribing to your music? And which different channels are you on as well? So are you on YouTube? Are you on SoundCloud? Is it just on your website? If they want to know more, where can they go to purchase your music as well? So I think that potentially using that little bit of repetition I was talking about in the tips, is that you can obviously have your intro and that you're going to be speaking to this artist, but also, you know, that this is what I do when these are the types of clients I work with, and we've got a new piece of music out this week, which is called X, Y, and Z, and we'll have a snippet of that a little bit later on in between our interview. So once again, make it really fluid, make it really conversational, but I think that you can just start to weave it in as part of the experience of them listening to the podcast, is that maybe you share a snippet to a new piece of music that you've created, and then at the end have the call to action where to go to find that music.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. And I think exactly, I probably don't have much to add to that one, but I do like that you said in the outro, have your call to action. So send them to where they can go and listen to that. We have another question from Dana Borg, and that is, how do you use your podcast to promote your brand without being too salesy or pushy? Want to focus on providing expert info and still promo my business without it being distracting and salesy?
I'm shameless, Dana, I have to say. No, I'm joking. I just promote all the time. No, I don't. So this is once again how you do it. So when people are listening to you, when they're following you for a reason. They like what you do. They like what you say. They like what you're about. So if you have got specific things that you want to promote, then, and it's timely. So for example, I'm like, well, when I'm promoting BBA at the beginning of next year, I've already taken a look at my podcast calendar and I'm like, okay, well, the four episodes before launch, I'll be talking about BBA. And I think you have to realize that if people really love you and what you do, they want to know what you've got. So whilst you may not be doing it all the time and you can mix things up and change things, and what I mean by that is sometimes I might be like, you know, today we're at episode whatever, I'm going to be talking to this person. Now, before we get started, I just want to remind you that if you are looking for a new planner and reviewer, then head over to the website and get the download, because we are almost in December, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So make sure you grab that. Let me know if you do. Let's head into the episode. So I think it's how you do it. I think that if you've got freebies where you can build your email list, then definitely be promoting those. Once again, in my Google note where I've got my intro and outro written, I've also got, like, say I've got three or four freebies, I've got the, like, what I would say, the copy, so that if at any point in time I just want to add one of those freebies to the beginning of an episode, I've got the copy there for how I would talk about it, where they need to go. But it's literally like probably a 10-second thing. Like, I'm not talking about it for 5 minutes. So I think it's about weaving your marketing in a very natural way so that there's flow. But I do promote on my podcast. That's why I've got my podcast, is not only to build my brand and my audience, but to let people know about things that I've got coming up as well. So I think just work out a way where it really works for you. And I think just make it timely too. So sometimes I'll be like, don't forget that in 3 weeks' time, we've got this event coming up. So if you're in Melbourne, make sure that you check out the events page, blah, blah, blah. Once again, conversational. People are like, oh, awesome, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll get onto it. Plus they get the content. So don't be scared to promote. I think it's just be really natural and conversational in how you do it.
Yeah. A lot of people monetize their podcast by selling their products and services. And I think it is just exactly that. It's the way, it's how natural you are at doing it. If you want to run it like you're putting sponsorship messages in, you can do that too. But if you're providing value to your audience in what you're sharing on a normal basis, you're educating and you're entertaining and all of that kind of stuff, then they're not going to mind you promoting. I mean, you can hear a salesy and a really pushy podcast from a mile away, and people, if they're not into listening to that, they're not going to listen to it. So, I agree with Suze. It's about being, weaving it in naturally and just sharing really, really good value content for your listeners, and then just making that a call to action or putting it on the side. I love that tip about having it in your Google Docs as well there, Suze. That's a great idea. We have one more question from Nance Haxton, and I'm not sure if this one might fit more into a marketing podcast, but I will answer it, ask it anyway. Is email with the podcast embedded a good support to the podcast? And if so, how do you build up your mailing list?
So we've got the podcast, like sign up to the podcast on every show notes page. We've also got it at the bottom of the website, and then in my email order signature, you can also go and listen to the podcast too. And obviously, like I said, there's sign up pages. The reason that I wanted to do the podcast is because I send content to my subscribers every single week. And so if it wasn't going to be a video, it's now the podcast. And it's just a reason. It's just a great reason to connect with your subscribers. I mean, obviously people have subscribed on their apps to your podcast, but for those, I get a lot of clicks on my podcast link when I send it in my email. So I know that it's a value to people. So I think that it is a value. I think, once again, it's just got to be part of your marketing strategy. It's one of the channels that you use to share your content. And if, for me, the podcast is my primary piece of content. So I am going to be sharing it with my subscribers as well as my social followers and wherever else as well. But I think do take a look at your website and where people are landing. And also that's where your call to action and your marketing can be, like we were just talking about, is when you're on your podcast, also say, make sure that you've subscribed. But if you want the freebie or the content upgrade or whatever it is, that's another thing I'm planning out the next year, is what are the content upgrades we're going to have, so that I'm making sure that the podcast is building my list as well. So I think that that's another thing from a strategy perspective to be thinking about, how it's building your list and growing your audience.
Yeah. Yep. Just having, as you say, having the opt-ins, having the people, giving them the option of, even if you don't have a freebie download, depending on what your podcast is, giving them the option to say, yep, I actually want to be on your list and I want you to email me when you do a new episode. So just asking for that out there. So that covers all of the questions in the group. And I've got a couple of questions that I end off with when I ask, have guests on the show. And the first one is, what do you wish you had known when you started podcasting?
Oh, this is an interesting question. It's funny. I kind of feel like I want to say nothing because I just learned so much along the way. But I think that, yeah, it would have been great for me to maybe promote it a lot earlier to, you know, if, and this is the whole thing, if I knew that I was going to love it as much as I did, I would have launched it properly. But I was so like, what if I don't like it? So, yeah, I think I would have promoted it a lot sooner, and I would have had a better marketing strategy around it. I think that's what I probably wish I'd known a little bit earlier, and had committed some more time to.
Okay, excellent. And what is your best tip around podcasting?
Just be yourself. People are just like, I love listening to you. I love like the fact that you're quirky, and people always send me messages that are like, I was laughing when you were laughing. Like, I think don't take it too seriously. And what I mean by that, it doesn't mean that the quality is not great, but just let yourself kind of be you, because that's what people really connect with. And I just, now I just kind of have a laugh, and sometimes I leave mistakes in because I'm like, oh, wow, that happens. Yeah. not big ones, but, you know, I just try and be as me as possible. And it's funny, somebody at the retreat that we went to, she's like, I listen to your podcast all the time, and I was wondering if you would be the same when I met you in real life. And she's like, it's just if I close my eyes, I could be listening to your podcast when you're standing in front of me. And I'm like, and I think that's really important from a brand perspective, no matter where you are, whether it's your podcast, you're on socials, whether you're meeting people in real life, like you just have to be you, because that's what makes you unique and that's what attracts people to you.
Yeah. And I think that is such a great note to end off on there, because it just, it pulls it all back around to the branding thing. Like if you're not you on your podcast, when people meet you, there's a real disconnect again. So you need to be consistent. You need to be, if you want to think about your branding on how you make people feel and everything, I think that is super important. And no one I know lives and breathes their brand like you do, Suze Chadwick. So thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll chat soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you'd like more info on Suze Chadwick, head over to her website, theconnectionexchange.com, and you can also follow her on Instagram. Her handle is at Suze Chadwick, and you will see that she really does walk and talk her brand really well. You can find these links on the show notes page at our website, podcastva.com. And while you're there, check out how we make the podcasting journey easier by offering done-for-you services and also podcast training. Until next week, have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you then. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe in your podcatcher so you don't miss an episode. And whilst you're there, I'd love it if you'd leave me a rating and review to help other podcasters.